The sun still hadn't shone above the disc, but there was enough pearly pre-dawn light to show Kin and Silver sitting on the carpet in the middle of the cool roof. Kin's arm felt numb. She shivered. "Let's go," she said. She rubbed the lamp. Azrafel appeared beside her. "Well," he said, "what?" "What happened to all that O Mistress stuff?" said Kin, surprised. Marco snorted impatiently. "All right, don't get stuffy. That sort of stuff was all right for him. I gathered you were more democratic." An etiquette lesson from 190 years before jogged Kin's overloaded memory. A gentleman is someone who always says thank you to his robot. "This lamp," she said, "suppose I were to give it to you." The demon blinked and thought about it. After a moment, a green tongue flicked out across its dry lips. "I would take it and drop it over the edge of the world, O Mistress," it said. "Then I would have peace." "Fly this carpet to the centre of the world, and I will give you the lamp," said Kin. Azrafel grinned. Kin added, "See the Kung on the horse? You will note he has the magic sword. I will give him the lamp. Should you betray us in any way, no doubt he will damage the lamp in interesting ways." The demon shivered. "Point taken," he said gloomily. "Is there no trust in this world?"
"No,"
said Marco flatly. The carpet rose and skimmed over the darkened city, Marco following closely on the flying horse. Kin watched the houses pass below and thought, "Something looks into our minds. The magic table produced food we merely thought of. When I thought of a doctor, it sent Azrafel with the man I had in mind, but it wouldn't produce an auto-doc. Why?" Azrafel was still crouched vacantly beside her. At the front of the carpet, Silver stared blankly at nothing. "Azrafel," said Kin, bring me a fully equipped Matrix Drive MFTL ship with the latest model dumbwaiter." Over the comm circuit, she heard Marco cackle. The demon said, "No." "Is that a refusal? We have your lamp." Azrafel shook his head. "It is not a refusal," he said. "It is a statement. Oysters cannot fly. I cannot bring you your desire. Now crush the lamp if you must."
"No anachronisms," said Marco. "Is that it?"
The demon paused before answering, as though listening to an internal voice. Seen up close, he too was slightly blurred. Like a 3V picture in the middle of a bad day for sunspots, Kin thought.
"No anachronisms," he agreed.
"But the man called J-Lo left the world and appeared 200 light... many, many miles away," Kin corrected herself.
"How?" "I do not know."
"J-Lo's ship is in distant orbit," said Marco. "We could adapt the life system, cannibalize bits out of our lander, and go home in that."
It'd take too long.
"Perhaps not."
"What about power?"
1,000 of these magic carpets joined edge to edge."
"Navigation?"
"Dead reckoning. We'll be aiming at a 50 light year sphere from a distance of 150 years. No trouble."
"Neat. And what about Silver?" Marco said nothing. When the sun came up, it was tinted with green. They flew over a sandstorm half a mile high, which blasted through farms and towns like snow from hell. Marco didn't say much, and Silver was now saying nothing at all. She lay curled up on the carpet looking at the sky. They thundered over a port called Basra, where the timber of broken ships clogged the streets while the mad sea methodically destroyed the town. Silver said,
"Something is shining on the horizon."
Kin wondered if she could see a faint gleam on the borders of vision. 10 minutes later, she was sure. Silver stirred again.
"Leave," she ordered. "The Kung must come here with swords."
"Marco?"
"I heard. Stop the carpet. You can take the horse."
"But you know what she's asking."
"Sure. If things get too bad, I'll have to kill her."
"How could you be so emotionless about it?"
"Why not? Better a dead sapient than a live animal. I agree with her."
"What'll happen afterwards?" He pursed his lips.
"She'll reincarnate on the disc, I guess. Better a live human than a dead shit."
"Will you stop talking like that?" The gleam turned out to be a high dome, welded into the rock of a wide island that seemed to be mostly black sand. Kin thought she could make out the remains of a few ships half buried in the sand. They circled it, a mile out at first, then moving closer in.